It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Yo! It is a week five edition of This Week in Fantasy. A supersized edition is in addition to the normal Sigmund Bloom segment. We will bring on our first ever international guest from rotoviz.com. Mr. Neil Dutton will join me, so you'll get to hear his beautiful, melodious British tones, which are certainly make my day, and hopefully will make yours as well. And again, coming up first, we will hear from Sigmund Bloom. No Inside the Mind of Sigmund Bloom. We did not have time this week.
Are you kidding me?
As my schedule was a little annoying. And
you bastard!
Sigmund was kind enough to move the timing around for me, so we were able to power through every single Week 5 game. We'll make it up to you with the Inside the Mind of Sigmund Bloom next week. But having said that, we've got a lot coming up. You don't need more of me. You need more of Sigmund. You need more of Neil. So let's get to it. Up first, let's talk to the one, the only, Mr. Sigmund Bloom. And as always, I'd like to welcome in our weekly guest who, as always, as I always say, I am honored and it's a pleasure to have him on. It's something I look forward to every week. You can find his stuff over at footballguys.com, where he's a co-owner, or follow him on Twitter at his name, Mr. Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, how are you?
Oh, very good. And, you know, it's a pleasure and an honor just to get to rap about the NFL and whatever we want. And people, we call it work because of the fine people who tune in every week.
Exactly right, and those people are my favorite people, so thank you to those people. And this week, due to my own recording issues, we will just be railing through the games. No Inside the Mind of Sigmund Bloom, but I promise we will make it up to you next week. But as it is, Sigmund, with the time we have, let's just rail through these games like we normally do. We'll go through the whole Week 5 slate, starting with the game we'll be watching this evening. Potentially a decent matchup, looks like. The Tampa Bay Bucs hosting the awful worst defense in football, New England Patriots. Sigmund, is this just going to be a fantasy bonanza?
Yeah, a lot of scoring in this one. So, you know, obviously those top four pieces of the New England passing game, Tampa Bay's defense is banged up. The running backs haven't been as reliable for us. So, you know, James White in PPR leagues, Mike Gillisley looking for that touchdown. But it's Amendola, it's Hogan, it's Gronkowski, and Brandon Cooks. Cooks was getting open last week. It's going to be there for him because Tampa can't get pressure on Tom Brady. And then on Tampa side, we're going to watch a lot of Winston to Evans. And some of these secondary guys, they get more consideration. Cameron Brate, Adam Humphries, and the return of Doug Martin, but probably not going to want to go with him as we're not sure how big his role will be in his return.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I think long-term Martin looked good in the preseason. I think a decent guy to have on your roster, but I agree this week kind of a up-in-the-air type of thing. I think they'll be passing more as well. Moving to the Sunday slate, 1 o'clock games, we start with a stinker, the Jets. The 2-2 Jets heading into the 0-4 Cleveland Browns. What do we do with this one?
Well, the Jets aren't really as big of a stinker as we think. I mean,
who saw it coming, Sigmund?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, this team. I don't know if Todd Bowles saw it coming. I don't know if the people running the team saw it coming. But we're looking at the quarterback rankings this week. And the quarterbacks on bye, guys like Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. You might have to go to the waiver wire, Kirk Cousins, and get a Josh McCown for this game, because Cleveland's defense, we saw them bring Andy Dalton back to life last week. You see with four teams on bye in fantasy football, that's the big story this week, four teams on bye and some good offenses. So you're digging a little deeper. Maybe you're going to the waiver wire. Robbie Anderson, Austin Seferian Jenkins against a very good matchup here. Now on the Cleveland side, yeah, there's nothing. Well, Duke Johnson in PPR. The main thing I'm looking at in Cleveland, when are we going to see Kevin Hogan?
Yeah, it's a great question. So is Isaiah Crowell, is he like droppable at this point?
Yeah, well, they just aren't giving him good game scripts. Miles Garrett's going to be back this week, so they've got a good set of pinchers in Garrett and Ogba. But, you know, they were competitive with the Steelers in week one, and they haven't really been that competitive since then. And that's what we really need to see, is for them to hang close in a game. They have the offensive line. Crowell doesn't look like he's lost much. He doesn't look like the guy who was ripping off those long runs, but I think you have to hold on to him at this point and wait and see if Cleveland can start being more competitive. Maybe a quarterback change to Kevin Hogan it seems like DeShone Kizer is plateauing right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's ready. And Browns, certainly, it's funny to say the Browns at 0-4 are a disappointment, but they really have the way they played.
Well, compared to the Bills, the Jets, some of these other teams we thought.
Yeah, totally. And also just, you know, you thought the Browns, not that they were ready to contend or anything, but you thought they'd take some sort of step, and it certainly doesn't look like that's happened. Moving on to a team that does look pretty good, the Detroit Lions hosting the not dead yet Carolina Panthers. Cam back last week. Was that just the Patriots defense, or is Cam playable again?
I think he's playable again. The offense looked good. We knew going into the season that one of the possibilities was missed practice time and new looks on offense that it might take some time to adjust. And it looked crisp. Now it did against the Patriots defense, but it was executed crisply. It was accurate throws, very calm and sound execution by Cam Newton. So I think that, you know, Detroit's an opportunistic defense, but not necessarily one that scares me. It brings guys like Devin Funchess, who had a good week last week, and Kelvin Benjamin back into play. And, you know, this is a good matchup between 2-3-1 teams, maybe, but it's surprising. Detroit, actually, you know, that's the offense I'm a little worried more about. They did go a lot to Amir Abdullah. It was a tough matchup against Minnesota, but they're not really threatening downfield. And you can start compressing closer to the line of scrimmage on them. This is going to be a really interesting matchup.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Really interesting. Kind of give you a feel of what these teams are, you know, outside of fantasy, just in terms of a NFC contender sense. Should be a really interesting game, to one that probably will not end up having any sort of, you know, NFC or AFC complications for that matter, a potential stinker. But the Niners heading into Indy, anything exciting about this matchup for you?
Well, T.Y. Hilton, you may go back to him this week. You probably don't have a better choice anyway with the byes, but San Francisco giving up some big plays in the passing game. Maybe Frank Gore will get some volume. We have to dig deep at running back this week, too. So maybe you go to someone like Frank Gore. You know, we can still trust Carlos Hyde. Pierre Garçon has a tough matchup here. And again, the C.J. Beathard watch, always, you know, looking out of the corner of our eye.
C.J. Beathard doomsday clock, as you so aptly dubbed it.
Yeah, it's 11:56, and, you know, could strike midnight any week now.
Oh, it's great. John Bartrud, a Iowa man, so not a C.J. Beathard fan, funny enough.
No.
So we'll see how that plays out. All right, the Titans coming off a ass whooping in Houston, heading into a team that also not looking so great across the pond, the Dolphins hosting the Titans. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, didn't you feel Jay Cutler's personality just engulf you?
Dude, like,
you
know? That guy could not give – yeah, any less shits than anyone else on the planet.
That's exactly where we are.
NFL game.
So, you know, we'll see if Adam Gase can help him find his want to. I still think against Tennessee secondary, Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry are good plays. But otherwise, it's, you know, we may see Matt Cassel start this game. So this could be a really ugly offensive game because Ndamukong Suh is not going to let Tennessee establish the run. And, you know, Tennessee hopes to just go down there and steal a win as Miami's swirling down the drain. And Adam Gase has another challenge already to get a team of grown men motivated.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it would be that hard, but it seems to be. Aforementioned, the surprise, probably the biggest surprise in terms of a positive of any team in the league, the Buffalo Bills sitting at 3-1. Heading into a 1-3 Bengals team, I bet if you had said to anyone before the season, one of these teams will be 3-1, one will be 1-3, 95% would have gone the other way. Do you think the Bills keep rolling here?
Absolutely. I mean, they lose Jordan Matthews. I mean, and, you know, that was a piece that was helping their downfield passing, but it's still about LeSean McCoy, Charles Clay, and Tyrod Taylor making some good plays. Their defense is for real. I think they're going to make life hard for Joe Mixon, for Andy Dalton, A.J. Green you can count on here. This looks like a defensive game. This looks like a game where neither offense. Cincinnati can get pressure on the quarterback for sure. You know, they're not an easy defense to crack either. But I think Buffalo is finding a way to win these games. Steven Hauschka has been excellent for them. Kicker pickup. More kicker talk in this segment.
love kicker talk.
Yeah, you know, I'm much more interested in this game for Buffalo than I am for fantasy.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really interesting spot. If they go 4-1, it's going to be a story. All right. Speaking of stories, I don't think a lot of people would have thought we'd have an 0-4 matchup here, but here we are. I almost said San Diego. The Los Angeles California Chargers heading in to take the 0-4 New York Giants on. What do we do here, Sigmund? 2-0-4 teams, but some potential fantasy players here. How do you assess this one?
Yeah, could you have ever guessed that they would be 13 years ago at the draft?
Yes.
Eli Manning, Philip Rivers. 13 years later, they meet as quarterbacks on 0-4 teams, trying not to give up on the season.
It's a great point.
Yeah, it is. Let's see, the Giants, the passing game's going. I want to see if Wayne Gwalman gets more work. You pick him up, maybe not start him, but I think he could take over this backfield. Odell Beckham, Eli Manning's playing well. You're bringing this pass offense back to life. Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard, Brandon Marshall on the fringe of startable. On the Chargers side, you know, we saw Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams come back to life, Philip Rivers. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Chargers' great pass rush can make life hard on Eli again. Remember those first 2 weeks? Well, I wouldn't say your Eagles crowd would be feeling sorry for Eli Manning, but you certainly felt like you felt like you didn't have a chance. And we'll see if it's a return to that style of football. And really just seeing if these teams can stay in tune, you know, stay interested. Because 0-4, you know your season's basically over.
All right, real quick, three quarterbacks who we've already talked about who are available on a fair share of wires. How would you rank them for this week? Josh McCown, I can't believe he's even included here. Tyrod Taylor and Eli Manning, what would you be your ranking? Yep.
You want to go with Eli because they're getting that offense, and it's going to be a pass-heavy offense. And then McCown, and then Taylor, just because I think they're going to be a very conservative offense.
All right, moving on, your team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, hosting the on again, off again, Saxonville, Jacksonville Jaguars. 1 week they're great, 1 week they're losing to the Jets. What happens here?
Well, I think that the Steelers at home, you expect their pass offense to get going. Martavis Bryant's been open. Can Ben Roethlisberger just find him? And we'll see a lot of Le'Veon Bell. One of those squeaky wheel gets the oil games for Antonio Brown. On the Jag side, Leonard Fournette. It's Leonard Fournette, their only hope. Blake Bortles is bad. And they hope for defensive scores. They hope for Leonard Fournette to really, you know, put the yoke on him and let him just pull this whole team to victory. That's their chance on the road in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, 100% with you. Blake Bortles is bad is a pretty good motto to live by. All right, the final 1 o'clock game. My squad, the 3-1 Eagles, hosting the Arizona Cardinals. I know that you have to feel pretty good, I would think, about the Eagles here. How do you feel in general about this game?
Yeah, you have to. Arizona traveling east, early game. You know that they're going to test the corners. They're going to continue to get tested like they were last week. I think Rasul Douglas had his welcome back. Welcome to the NFL game. And you know it's going to be J.J. Nelson and John Brown and Jerron Brown and Larry Fitzgerald strifing down the field. Carson Palmer's going to test that secondary. But also they're going to get a lot of shots at Carson Palmer. There's no run game to speak of. The Eagles have been playing the run well. Anyway, on the Eagles side, I like this new conservative, balanced offense. And LeGarrette Blount, you see his value at the end of the game last week, putting a game away. That's the back that you want. Wendell Smallwood filling some cracks here. Zach Ertz making the offense go. So, you know, a balanced, boring offense for fantasy is not great, but for the Eagles, it's making them look like the favorite in the division.
Yeah, no, and Carson Palmer have been hit more than any other quarterback in the league this season. Eagles D-line, you figure, especially if Fletcher Cox is back, which it looks like there's a chance that happens, should be a game they can take advantage of there. And for anyone who ever, I mean, think about it this way. We're all Eagles, or the vast majority of people listening to this are likely Eagles fans. Sigmund, not an Eagles fan, but can still talk about Rasul Douglas. Well done, sir. All right, moving on, the Los Angeles Rams, the 3-1 Rams. Playing good football. Big test this week is Seattle coming into town. Seattle coming off a
ugly first half, but then took over in the second half on Sunday Night Football. This is kind of a big game for the NFC West. Where do you see it kind of shaking out?
The all alone in first place Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I'm bouncing.
And Seattle usually plays badly when they go out to see the Rams, but Russell Wilson's really come alive. Doug Baldwin's okay. Tyler Lockett speeds back in play. You know, we'll watch for fantasy Lacey and Rawls to see how that split goes, but we're not excited about that. Jimmy Graham is looking healthier. At least we can start him on the Rams side. This is an interesting test because it really does go with that tree going all the way back to Cincinnati. Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins, now Jared Goff. Not the best quarterbacks outside of structure. Not the quarterbacks that you want authoring the game, but within structure, with good players, good play calls, good offensive line around them, things work, and things have been working. But Seattle's defense has a way of making things not work. So, you know, we go to Todd Gurley. I get to see the Hurley-Gurley man every week. He's scoring every week. Yeah, you always want some more Donovan in your life. But I don't know.
For real, though, like to people who don't know Donovan or don't listen to Donovan, you need more Donovan in your life because Donovan is the man.
Singing songs of love.
Yes.
So this is going to be a really fascinating game. And we'll see if Seattle's defense can really assert themselves because it can't just be Russell Wilson running for his life making things happen.
Yeah, couldn't agree more 100% there. All right, moving on. Oh, yeah, one other thing there. Good point. I think Sean McVay, that dude really knows what he's doing, as you pointed out, with the kind of putting Goff in structure. And some of the plays he calls really impressive. The Ravens coming off a ugly showing at home. You can usually count on the Ravens at home this week. They're heading on the road to face a reeling Derek Carr-less Raiders team. Like, I have no idea what to do with this one. Sigmund, help me.
Yeah, this is going to be an ugly game. Hey, I'll say this. Forgive me, football gods, but EJ Manuel didn't look too bad last week.
He didn't look too bad.
I mean, functional. He looked functional.
Right.
And, Baltimore's a tough
first
team.
Round pick. You know, you'd hope it someday he could maybe be functional.
Right, functional backup. So maybe reviving Amari Cooper a little bit. Michael Crabtree should be back with, they're optimistic he'll be back. Maybe Marshawn Lynch gets going as Brandon Williams is out, but this could be a limited offensive game. Obviously, it's going to be a limited offensive game with Joe Flacco. This is where I'm going to go into Andrew Dice Clay mode here, just because you watch him play and he's his own punchline. But this is going to be an ugly game. This is going to be an ugly game, but both of these teams need this win to keep their season from starting to slip out of their grasp after a good start.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, I think after 2 weeks into the season, I think most people would have said Ravens and Oakland Raiders, absolutely two of your six playoff teams in the AFC, and now they might be on the outside looking in for most people. It's really it's flipped quickly. All right, last of the 4 o'clock games, we got a good one here. The Dallas Cowboys reeling, coming off a home loss to the Rams, taking on an Aaron Rodgers Packers team coming off a throttling on Thursday night, a long week for them. What do you see happening here? This is another game where I really could see it going either way.
Yeah, a lot of points in this one. Dak Prescott's playing well. Dez Bryant, not shackled by a great number one corner in some of the matchups he had earlier. Should expect him to get going. And Ezekiel Elliott, and, you know, the triplets. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, putting this team on his back. They don't have much of a running game to speak of. We'll see about Ty Montgomery. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't think there's a Green Bay running back to play here. Devontae Adams should. It sounds like he's going to be ready to play. But Geronimo Allison's also good anyway. So either way, you have a play there. Randall Cobb looks good and is back in form after his injury. Jordy Nelson scoring touchdowns. We'll see if Martellus Bennett can get going, but there should be a lot of really good quarterback playing a lot of points in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a game to start your guys. Speaking of starting your guys, the Sunday night game, we got a great one Sunday night. It looks like it could be a fun one. Starting your guys, you wanted to start every single Chief this season as that offense has just kept rolling. Heading into all of a sudden, potential fantasy gold mine in Houston now that Deshaun Watson at the helm. What do you – two good defenses as well. So this is kind of a tricky one here. How do you see the Sunday Nighter playing out?
I see the offenses winning out. I mean, Alex Smith looks great with his new boldness from the competition from Patrick Mahomes. And teams usually can stop one of Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, but not both. I would say, you know, with Houston's ability to create pressure, maybe it's a Travis Kelce day. Of course, it's a Kareem Hunt night, I should say. On the Houston side, we'll see another interesting test for Deshaun Watson, but he has Will Fuller. You know, he has a couple of tight ends. He has Lamar Miller leaking out of the backfield. He has DeAndre Hopkins, who he knows, the Clemson connection, that he just has to throw it around him. And even if he's not open, he's open. So you like the way Watson's growing up so quickly, but he's got Justin Houston to deal with. And they're, you know, tremendous players on both sides of the ball, quarterbacks growing up, and this is going to be a really fun one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm really looking forward to this Sunday night. It's interesting to see where this Texans squad stand, and of course the Chiefs, the only undefeated team in football. Slightly less fun one on Monday night, but still some things to look forward to here. The Vikings, sadly, without Dalvin Cook, so heading into Chicago. In addition to your thoughts on the game, how do you see the Latavius Murray, Jerick McKinnon split going as well?
Yeah. I mean, Murray will get most of the work. Chances are the expectations are lowered across the backfield anyway, that, you know, aren't going to be that excited with whatever we get. At least we want to see, at least until Sam Bradford comes back. Who knows? Mitchell Trubisky, just confetti.
How about that? Getting the start. Glennon, what, $18 million? You may as well only let him start a few games, right?
Sure. Well, just to keep the spot warm. But. Tariq Cohen, you want to see them involve him more. I don't understand what happened after the first two games. Jordan Howard, they have to stay in games for him to matter. Chicago's been more competitive at home. You know, we'll see if they get a shot in the arm from Trubisky, and Minnesota needs their own shot in the arm after Case Keenum is playing like, well, hey, Case Keenum.
Who saw it coming that Case Keenum would not continue the 380 yards and three touchdowns?
And of course, losing Dalvin Cook. You know, losing Dalvin Cook is a big killer.
It's a big one, man.
To be a Vikings fan.
It really is. Like, I'm an Eagles fan, and I know that we know, you know, pain and misery. We don't compare. Like, no, I don't think any – I think if I had to pick the number one most cursed fan base, I feel like it's got to be the Vikings, right? Like, all the last, you know, second losses in big games, they've lost. They're the only team to lose four Super Bowls and never win one. It's got to be the Vikings, right?
Well, I just always remember Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson, yeah. But then how about Blair Walsh last, you know, couple of years? But I agree. Gary Anderson's the worst one. That team
Brett
was
Brett Favre's interception.
Yeah, Brett Favre's interception. Again, four Super Bowl losses. There's a lot of good claims for I mean, Cleveland, obviously, there's nothing and all that. You know, there are different sides of the argument, but I don't know. For me, I don't think it gets much worse than being a Vikings fan. At Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, follow him. He's terrific there. Also, footballguys.com. I always ask if there's anything special going on, but I always neglect to mention the Audible. It is such an awesome podcast with you and Cecil Lammy. You guys have been doing it for years. Is there anything in addition at footballguys.com? But also let people know where they can find the Audible, because it is such a great podcast, and I always neglect to give it the props it deserves.
Oh, it's all right. It's fine. I mean, it's just doing it is its own joy. I'd speak to hear the sound of my own voice. iTunes, Google Play, you know, where you find all your favorite podcasts. And we do eight episodes a week. We do live episodes with video on Thursday night during the game, on Sunday morning as we're setting our lineups. And, you know, we just like following the calendar, following the journey with everybody, beginning to end, agony, ecstasy, everything in between.
It's really worth it, guys. Check it out. And as always, he'll be back next week. We'll add a question. I'll do a five-pack for Inside the Mind of Sigmund Bloom to make it up. But, Sigmund, thank you for being flexible, and thanks, as always, for hopping on.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
As always, terrific stuff from Sigmund, powering through those games. And like I said, next week I'll make it up to you with a little extra Inside the Mind of Sigmund Bloom action. But now, again, no more me.
That's pretty cute.
More Neil. Let's get to Neil Dutton from rotoviz.com, our first international guest on the podcast ever. I hope you enjoy it. Here is Mr. Neil Dutton. And it is my pleasure to welcome in, to my knowledge, the first international guest in BGN radio history. Certainly the first international guest on This Week in Fantasy History. And couldn't ask for a better first international guest than this man. You can find his work over at rotoviz.com as well as other places. He's a hustler just like me, and it's a pleasure to have this man on the podcast. Let's welcome Mr. Neil Dutton to the pod. Neil, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, sir. I mean, this is, you know, this is one off the bucket list. You know, I can cross this off now. It's pretty much just Roto World now.
Well, it's an honor to be on any bucket list. It's certainly on my bucket list to have you on the pod, as well as you sound so much cooler than I ever could just by talking. So I'm sure that doesn't do as much for you guys over there to always hear like, oh, you have the coolest accent, because it's like just the way you talk.
Absolutely. It's always weird to see. I you know, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm from Liverpool, but I don't have the classic Scouse accent, as it were, but the further away from Liverpool I get, the more Scouse I sound. So it is quite strange at times.
That you know, it's almost like you're just like, the further away, you're like, I'm going to hold on to it and keep it there.
Absolutely. That must be it.
I love it. Well, guess what? We're the ones who get to benefit from it, because it is awfully nice on the ears, Neil. So I'm very excited. But we're not here just to talk about your accent. We're here to talk fantasy. Of course, Neil does a ton of work again at rotoviz.com and a fantasy expert, which we like to have on the show. So, Neil, we're going to go through, and Neil and I look at kind of the first quarter of the season. Obviously, you just heard me and Sigmund rail through this week's games, but I wanted to take more of a macro look with Neil here and look at kind of what's going on and what might continue and what might not, and then also maybe touch on a few of the issues that Sigmund and I can't quite, at least the current issues, that we can't quite dive into the depth we would like to, some of the injuries and stuff as we power through the game. So let's jump in, Neil. I wanted to start with just a very macro question, and just, we are through one quarter of the season, and really more than a quarter of the fantasy season, is obviously, at least for those people who don't play into week 17, as you shouldn't, don't play in week 17, people. Through a little over a quarter of the fantasy season, is there any big takeaway that you have in terms of just looking at kind of what's on the board moving forward?
Well, there's a few things that, you know, that you didn't really expect. You may have thought they could happen, but you never really expected them to occur in the way that they have. The fact that Amari Cooper has got 7 drops and only 12 receptions through 4 games is something of a concern, especially, you know, if people were taking him, you know, I don't think anyone's taking him in the first round of drafts, but certainly high up in the second round.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know, you know, there were people arguing, saying, well, don't take Cooper there. Just wait a few rounds and take Crabtree. And, you know, as an owner of Cooper in several leagues, I really wish I'd listened to these people.
Yeah, I know that game as well. And for, as a Crabtree owner there, I will tell you, though, him sitting out last week certainly wasn't a ton of fun.
Well, he had a bruise on his lung. I mean, how do you get that? I mean, I put on Twitter, you know, how does such an injury occur? And
yeah,
James Coe of NFL.com said it was Josh Norman stealing his soul the week before. So.
I mean, it's an injury that you just, there are a few of those injuries. Like whenever you hear about like a busted, you know what, like a nut, let's say, a busted nut. You know, you hear about those every once in a while, especially in hockey, but maybe the next step down, but the bruised lung certainly sounds like one of those injuries you want to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even show it off. You couldn't say, God, look at this one. Well, hang on.
Man, this is a badass injury. This one. No, it's on the inside. And not just that, I'd say the lung is kind of important.
Yeah, it's the injury equivalent of, no, I have a girlfriend. No, you don't know if she goes to another school.
Oh, that's terrific. So in addition to the Cooper kind of general thought there, I wanted to jump into some of the storylines we've seen. And as my dogs go wild in the background, which is always a staple of This Week in Fantasy, I want to play the second edition of Nice or Nah. As we got to play that with Paul Charchian back in the preseason, and this feels like the perfect opportunity to bring it back. So, Neil, as you know, the way the game is played is I'm going to give you a projection. In theory, it could be, you know, Amari Cooper will finish as a top 10 wide receiver. We would both probably say no to that one, or not, as it were, at this point. Or on the flip side, say something like Amari Cooper will severely disappoint the people who drafted him, and you could say nice because
yep.
That is clearly the case so far. So we're going to take a few of the storylines from the beginning of the season, and let's see whether you think it's going to continue out. Let's start with probably the I don't know if the biggest surprise, but certainly the biggest draft winner as of the first 4 weeks of the season, I would say, is anyone who drafted Kareem Hunt. So Kareem Hunt will finish the season as a top 3 fantasy running back, nice or not?
I'm going to say nice.
Nice.
Obviously, you know, as Eagles, you know, fans are representatives of the Eagles, we are aware that, you know, Big Red does have a history of, you know, producing productive running backs. the one criticism we can have of him is that sometimes he forgets he has them on the field and starts, you know, throwing the ball to useless people. Kareem Hunt, though, has shown that, you know, as a rookie, he's, you know, he's the best running back. He's an excellent receiver. And, you know, he is rolling at the moment. And Big Red has come out and said, you know, no, we're not concerned about his workload. We'll just keep feeding him. And with the way that Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce seem to be alternating quiet weeks and big weeks, Kareem Hunt's been the only constant. So I think, you know, if they can go into the Patriots at the time, the invincible New England Patriots, and put the clown suit on them, and then we've seen, you know, what he's done to the Eagles, what he did to the Chargers, and then, bless him, against the Redskins. I personally don't think there's any reason to suspect he's going to drop off.
Yeah, I feel the same way. He's just good. You know, he passes the eye test. You watch him. He's shifty. He's got such great balance, and he just keeps moving. Against Washington, you know, that was like a subpar game for him, and he still, you know, had 120-plus all-purpose yards. So with you 100%, I think Kareem Hunt is for real. Let's talk about his teammate, though, maybe less real. Nice or nah, your number one fantasy cornerback, Alex Smith, finishes as a top five fantasy quarterback. Nice or nah?
I'm going to say nah. I mean, he's doing quite well now. You look in the terms of fantasy points, but I've not seen the exact how many points he scored last night, but he had, going into the Redskins game, he had, I think it was 62 fantasy points over three games, which is a great figure, but 31 of them came against the Patriots. So obviously there's been a huge drop off from week one to two and three. But a stat that I found about Alex Smith, he is 9 of 14 for 376 yards and three touchdowns on passes travel more than 20 yards in the air.
This is the most unexpected Alex Smith. Yes, what is that?
It's literally, you know, if this is, you know, what it takes to get superb performance, literally, oh, by the way, Alex, this is your replacement. You know, we'll see about that.
I'm with you. I don't think he continues, but I do think it's a great stat. And it's one of those stats that when you hear it, you're like, yeah, that's what I've seen. He has been connecting on deep passes through these first four games. But I'm with you. I don't think top five. I think he does have a chance to stay relevant, though, as the rushing yards he accrues certainly give him a high floor. So, you know, I think one of those things where the hot start might, when we look back at the end of the season, he'll probably be a top 10 quarterback, even though he might not feel like it all the time. All right, nice or nah, Dez Bryant will finish outside the top 25 fantasy receivers, a.k.a. Dez is done. Nice or nah?
I'm going to say nice.
Nice.
And not because of, you know, the bitter he plays for the Cowboys reasons.
It doesn't hurt.
I mean, it must find an actual reason, even though this is going to happen. You look at his play over the last two seasons. He catches about 50% of his targets. You can say, yeah, but he scores touchdowns. Well, that's great. But touchdowns, as we know in fantasy, it's a rather fluky thing. It's not guaranteed. Well, you know, unless you're Kareem Hunt, in which case it seems to be guaranteed. Between the 20s, he just doesn't seem to be an efficient part of that offense. And I mean, if Dak Prescott's going to, you know, start running more, and he's still looking for Jason Witten, I mean, my God, Jason Witten, you know, was a ball boy in the first ever game of American football way back in the 20s. I just don't think Dez Bryant is going to score enough touchdowns to make up for the fact that between the 20s, he offers very little.
I am 100% with you. And again, you know, the fact that he's a Cowboy is awesome. But I really believe that we've seen the best of Dez Bryant, at least certainly this season, especially one thing, in addition to everything you mentioned and his inability to get separation, it seems. And it's really, you know, the physicality type plays and the jump balls. But you look at his schedule this season and the cornerbacks he has to go up against, it's not good for Dez. You know, he's already had a tough slate of corners to go against. It doesn't get much easier. So I'm with you 100%. I think Dez, at least for this season compared to what people expected, is done. One guy who is not done, the question is just how good will he continue to be? Your number one fantasy running back, actually ahead of Kareem Hunt, at least in PPR leagues, Mr. Todd Gurley. Neil, nice or not, has Todd Gurley finished the season as a top three running back?
Again, top three might be a bit of a stretch, but I certainly think he could be a top five. I mean, he's getting the opportunity. That, I mean, it's hats off to Jeff Fisher for how well he managed to keep this guy down. You know, let's start with there. You know,
it's a lot of work to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, you know, the slight huff, you know, this is a high school offense, and then first game of this season, it's like, he still didn't look good. But, I mean, Todd Gurley, he's got 74% of the team rushing attempts and 21% of the targets in the passing game. That's as close to a three-down workhorse as you can get in the modern era. And, you know, if he's going to keep getting fed, I mean, let's be honest, they're going to take him off the field for who? Come on, you know, if he's on the field, we saw, you know, I thought at the start of the season when Lance Dunbar went down that he could see a slight uptick in passing work because he did catch 40 passes last season. But he's just been absolutely electric with the ball in his hands. And the Rams seem to be following the, which you'd expect with Sean McVay as the coach, the Redskins' offensive philosophy that they scored a lot of points. But you actually look and thought, well, outside of Jordan Reed, there's no one really to rely on here except Kirk Cousins. And it seems to be, to an extent, that's what the Rams are doing, except it's Jared Goff, and, you know, he's done well, but let's, you know, pump the brakes a bit there, folks. But, you know, Todd Gurley seems to be something you can rely on. And, you know, at the end of the day, he is great to watch when he's in full flow. But top three, I don't know. It's an odd position. I mean, at the moment, with so many bad injuries, one of my fancy teams, I drafted David Johnson, Dalvin Cook. And Chris Carson. It's looking a bit bleak now when I'm literally going through the waiver wire saying, "Oh, Kyle Juszczyk, he could make me sick." top five, I certainly think he could do it.
I like that. So that's like a half nice, half nah. And I'm with you. I think he's a right up there for top five and top three. It wouldn't shock me. I mean, like you said, the usage is there. I mean, I loved Gurley coming out of college. I've always thought he's a outstanding, phenomenal back, and those usage numbers you put out are pretty impressive in terms of volume and what to expect moving forward. So I'm with you. I think he's a top five guy, and I think he's certainly got a shot to be a top three guy. All right, one more nice or not before we move on, we're gonna play to the hometown crowd. Hopefully, here Carson Wentz will finish the season as a QB1, aka a top 10. Fantasy quarterback, at least in 10-team leagues. Nice or not?
I'm going to say nice.
Nice.
Yes!
I mean, you could argue his best game, you know, as an Eagle was Sunday. Well, his numbers weren't fantastic, but he was just, you know, he was orchestrating. He was running the
charge.
Game. That was it. It was this. I mean, sometimes you're watching and still thinking, no, not that. Okay. Good play, Carson. And which, you know, it's a bit exciting. At least it's a bit exciting, especially if you're watching the game back. It's like, oh, he's going to do it now. It can be a bit, oh, it's okay. But, I mean, again, another, you know, incredible stat is Carson Wentz is converting 54% of the Eagles' third or fourth downs this season. That's the most in the league. So from a fantasy point of view, you've got a quarterback who's extending drives, giving himself and his team more opportunities to score. And, you know, the weapons are much better than last year, as we know. I mean, you know, the wide receiver's been upgraded. But let's be honest, they're not putting up 100 yards here, 100 yards there. It's a lot better than it was last year, but it's not the greatest show on turf or the 2007 Patriots. They've shown the last two games that they are committed to running the ball. So, you know, Wendell Smallwood and LeGarrette Blount are chipping in. But when they get down in the red zone, they're still, you know, quite diverse. They may throw it, they may pass it. So, and the best thing of all is that he's not throwing interceptions. That's two games in a row he hasn't thrown an interception. And I can't remember the last time he did that. It must have been when he was a rookie, you know, for those first 3 weeks. So I think as Carson Wentz goes, the Eagles go. So with my fantasy hat on, that's great. But with my Eagles hat on, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree completely. And just from a pure fantasy perspective, while I love the Eagles running the ball the last couple of weeks, the matchups dictated it. I think Carson Wentz is going to have a lot of weeks where the volume is going to be there. He's going to have to carry the team. And I think he can. And I think from a fantasy perspective, again, going back to the quarterbacks who can give you an extra 2, 3, 4 points on the ground, that's such a you don't think about how important that is until you have those points each week, and it really does matter. So I am with you there, and, you know, nice to hear. All right, that is a nice.
Nice.
Or not. Now, before we move on real quick, Neil, kind of in the same vein as nice or not, but specifically, I want you to give me one guy who so far through the quarter of the season has underperform that you think is going to turn it around and get back to where people thought he'd be? And then conversely, a guy who has exceeded expectations, played very well, or at least met expectations through 4 weeks, who you are expecting a downturn from?
Well, the bounce back for me is T.Y. Hilton. I mean, the biggest factor in this bounce back will be that hopefully, touch wood, Andrew Luck will be back soon. I mean, T.Y.'s figures with Luck and without are quite stark. I mean, it's about an extra target a game, an extra reception a game, 10 more yards a game, and half a touchdown a game more with Luck than without. And over the course of, you know, of those games, you're looking at like a difference of 5 PPR points per outing. You know, that adds up. So, you know, he's having to make do, you know, with Scott Tolzien. Ugh, still trying to get over that. And Jacoby Brissett has been okay, but they don't have, he hasn't got that relationship with Luck. I mean, Hilton's first 4 games, he's got, was it 3 catches, 57 yards, no touchdowns, 449, 7, 1, 5, 3, and 1, but it was against the Browns. And, you know, this is the Browns that we all thought, hoped, prayed, maybe better. No, they're getting worse every week. And then 3 for 30 against the Seahawks. So I think he's currently in PPR leagues, he's at wide receiver 21. Now, considering he was probably going second round, top of the second, top to middle of the second, that's probably a bit disappointing. But when Luck comes back, I expect him to kick on quite considerably.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm excited about that turnaround for Hilton, and he did show that he still has that in him against the Browns. Granted, against the Browns. What about on the flip side? Who's someone you expect to have a bit of a downturn?
Well, I think, you know, in keeping with wide receivers called T.Y. or Ty, Tyreek Hill is the wide receiver 8 at the moment. But it's, you know, he's alternating, as I said, he's alternating good game with bad game. We'll say bad game, decent game, I suppose. I mean, he started 7, 133 and 1 a touchdown against New England, 4 for 43 against the Eagles, 577 and 1 in week 3 against the Chargers, and then 5 for 35 and none against the Redskins. He's not putting up great numbers. If you look back to when he was in college, he was never a dominant, stereotypical wide receiver 1. He's never really had that workload. And, you know, he's quite versatile, and, you know, Andy Reid does use him in a lot of different ways, but he's still only had like 6 carries this season, and, you know, he's only had about 20 yards on them. So if he's not running the ball that much, I don't think he's consistent enough as a receiver. And the rest of his games this season, as we stand now, he's only got 1 opponent this season who is in the top 10 in terms of fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. Everyone else is 13 and upwards. I mean, he's got Houston, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Denver twice, Dallas. That's the gimme game. Then he's got the Giants, the Bills, even the Jets, and the Chargers and the Dolphins. So you look at that. I mean, as I say, he's not a classic wide receiver, so he's not going to get, you know, he's never going to get peppered with targets. And say wide receiver 8 at the moment, I'd be surprised if he was sniffing that kind of airspace come the end of the season.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, just he's been someone you can count on every week. I don't think that he's going to be someone you can count on every week. And I think there'll be obviously weeks where he puts up those big numbers, but I think it's going to be more of a inconsistent effort, which is a killer in fantasy. All right, real quick, Neil, before we get really quickly into just I want to ask a quick question or two about football across the pond, but real quick, just on what's happening right now, a couple of big injuries last week. I wanted to see kind of how you think these teams' offenses are going to respond. Obviously, the Cook and Carson injuries, we kind of know what the team can do and who they can stick in there, but I'm more interested in your take on the Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota injuries and how much you think it affects the other players on those teams. We obviously talked about Cooper at the beginning, adding the Carr injury to it too. I mean, do these two offenses all of a sudden become stayaways?
Well, if the choices at quarterback are Matt Castle and EJ Manuel, it's not so much stay away, more as, you know, I want to stick my head down the toilet and shut the lid, you know, and stay away from it for as long as possible. But if you actually look, I mean, Amari Cooper is struggling. Michael Crabtree has got the bruised lung. Jared Cook has been quite consistent. And if you actually look, when EJ Manuel was quarterbacking for the Bills, he had quite an effective link-up with Scott Chandler. So he has shown that he can work with a tight end. So maybe it increases Jared Cook's value. VJ Manuel. With the Titans and Mariota, I mean, I can't think of a free agent quarterback who's quite mobile and maybe, you know, can throw the occasional downfield shot. Can you think of anyone that would mean they'd have to instead go and sign Brandon Whedon? You know, I can't think of anyone, you know, maybe have played in the Super Bowl.
Who could be out there who, you know, is better than Brandon Whedon? Well, I guess that's not fair. There are probably a lot of guys better than Brandon Whedon, but I'll pick one in particular as well.
I mean, we know that the Titans, you know, they've gone quite aerial this season, especially in the two games they've lost. But we know that deep down they want to run the ball. So it's just a question now is, you know, how effective can they run the ball, knowing that if we stop DeMarco Murray or Derrick Henry, it's Matt Cassel throwing to, you know, Rashad Matthews or Delaney Walker or Jonnu Smith or any of that type. So of the two, the Titans offense scares me the most. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but if it's a choice between a Cassel Titans or a Manuel Raiders, I think I would lean more towards the Raiders because we know they've got that great offensive line and, you know, they still have got talented wide receivers. And we have got a quarterback who has shown that he can operate with a player in that offense. So it depends how long Carr's out and how long Mariota's out, because, you know, we don't know what that is either. At the moment, I'd be concerned about all the players in the offense, but I wouldn't go like crackers and start dropping them and, you know, putting in all kinds of, you know, and starting Brian Hoyer over them or anything like that.
All right, that is perfect. Neil, so much awesome information. Check out his stuff over at rotoviz.com. Nick, Neil, what anything in particular people should be looking out for this week or in the coming weeks?
Well, I did have an article out yesterday on RotoViz. It was basically you know, getting to know you for Tyler Croft, the Bengals tight end, because he started all four games this season, but in the first two games, he hardly played at all after starting. Since Bill Lazor has come in, Tyler Eifert obviously has been missing. And Bill Lazor, you know, he must have got this from the Eagles when he was at the Dolphins. He liked to use the tight end, especially in the red zone. And we saw, say, Tyler Croft got two red zone touchdowns. So it was a bit of an introduction to him and, you know, looking at his fantasy prospects moving forward. And later this week, I've got my weekly tight end streamers article. For RotoViz, it's, you know, we're getting into the bye weeks now, so now this is the time you test, you know, your roster and how you can work the wire. So it'll be the three tight ends this week. They're available in over 50% of ESPN leagues to see, you know, these three players. If you're struggling at tight end, if you had Greg Olsen or Tyler Eifert, maybe one of these players, plug them in, they can help you.
I love it. Check it out, rotoviz.com. You can also follow Neil on Twitter at ndutton13. 13, my favorite number. So Neil, a smart man. Neil, before I let you get out of here, I got to ask just a quick question or two just about what it's like to be an NFL NFL fan across the pond. You know, I know as a BGN radio member that we had no idea how many Eagles fans there were over in the UK. And since, as you know, we've started a BGN Radio UK Facebook page, someday we are going to come to London and do a podcast. Like we are all in. But we were kind of just surprised at how many Eagles fans there are over there. Can you speak a little bit to what it's, you know, what the NFL is like over there and kind of how you became an Eagles fan and also kind of how the NFL kind of is permeating its way through the United Kingdom?
Well, there's like generations of NFL fans, I think, in this country, because in the 80s it was on Channel 4 quite a bit. So there's been a lot of like older fans, like my podcast co-host's dad is a Miami Dolphins fan, because when he started watching it was Dan Marino, you know, it was their, you know, good run then, and also the 49ers run. So there's a lot of like long-standing 49ers fans. I started watching the NFL, and I can tell you the exact date because this is how weird my brain works. It was the 19th of November the year 2000, and the very first game I watched was the Jets against the Dolphins. And Jay Fiedler got wiped out in the first play of the game. I was drinking while I was watching it.
Luckily, right?
Yeah, I was on the ale. But as it was one of those, I started watching it, and I was watching it with friends who they were fans. So as I was watching it, I was, you know, I asked questions, I picked up the knowledge, and eventually I found, oh, I could watch this by myself. And obviously, it's 2000. That was the start of the Eagles with Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb. Sure. One of my friends said, you know, you'll enjoy it more if you have your own team. So my podcast co-host says that the only reason I got the Eagles was because the other fella can't pronounce Cincinnati. Because the first 5 years of being an Eagle.
You should thank him for not being able to pronounce.
Every day I thank him. First 5 years of the Eagles, you know, championship games and a Super Bowl. So, and whereas he's a Jets fan and he gave me the Eagles. So thanks for that. It is growing in popularity. Because especially the games in London have helped, because now it's especially they're on free to air television as well. So that does help that, you know, everyone gets a chance to watch them. It's not seen as like a niche thing. I mean, there was an accusation that, you know, if you're British and you like the NFL, you're just doing it to be trendy, you know, or trying to be a hipster. Whereas, you know, you only have to see the way I'm dressed to know that I'm really, that's not a priority for me.
Yeah, which is pretty funny considering in America, it's like hipsters are the ones who are like, ew, you watch the NFL?
Exactly.
It's the polar opposite.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, people say, you know, oh, and it goes on for 3 hours. I said, yeah, but cricket goes on for 5 days, and I don't really have a problem with that either. And, you know, it has been marketed very well. I mean, Sky, you know, the network over here have had it. They do a good job with it. You know, they started out with just a 9 o'clock game, so the 4 o'clock game your time. And then they went to, okay, we'll have a double header. And they, you know, you get a game a week. You know, you get your 6 o'clock game, so the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock. You don't really have much choice. But then when you start going into, you know, you have Game Pass, and I say you've got these, you know, got these games now, you know, especially the early kickoffs at Wembley, you know, the ones that are, I think it's 10 o'clock in the morning your time. It's a lot more inclusive for people, and it's not seen as this charming little clique that we have. And I say more and more people watch it because a lot of them may have already watched it, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and just think, oh, are the Oilers still a team? it is growing in popularity. I don't think it's ever going to be, you know, the main sport, because, you know, obviously this, we have our own football, as it were.
Sure.
And we've got, you know, rugby, cricket, and those other sports. But is certainly very, very popular.
I love it. And just to make sure, when the London Jaguars actually officially become the London Jaguars, you will stay an Eagles fan, correct?
Oh, absolutely. That is actually the biggest question that we have. It's not the logistics. Would they play all around the country? It's, would you support a London team? Now, me, no. I've made my bones. You know, I've sweat for this team. I've stormed out of my friend's house when the Eagles couldn't convert a 3rd and 1 against the 49ers in 2006. It was a meaningless game, but I was just so angry. I've sweat blood. I've seen Super Bowl losses. I've seen championship game losses. I wouldn't just support a team just because they're 200 miles away. You know, the proximity is nothing. I'm from Liverpool, but my football team is Sheffield Wednesday. That's not a bank holiday. They're 70 miles away. So proximity isn't a big factor for me. I'm emotionally committed to this team. The London Jaguars, yeah, it would be nice. You know, I'd go and watch them, but I'd be wearing an Eagles jersey when I do.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. This was so awesome. Follow him on Twitter at ndutton13. He is hilarious, as you can tell. And all the information, all the knowledge, definitely go to rotoviz.com. I mean, you heard. I mean, you just listened, unless you fast forward to the end, which would be weird. But if you listened, you heard all that awesome information, check him out. It's worth it. Neil, thank you so much for taking the time and for talking to me across the pond.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Say the all the great work you and everyone at BGN does. It's going to say, I feel part of it, even though I'm thousands of miles away. So thank you.
That is the best compliment we could ever receive. So again, ndutton13 on Twitter, rotoviz.com. Check him out. Thank you so much, Mr. Neil done.
Just awesome stuff from Neil. Factoids, stats, interesting information, jokes.
All right.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, the coolest accent in the world. So thank you, Neil Dutton, for coming home. It really was a pleasure to talk to Neil. We will absolutely have Neil back again this season. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at ndutton13. And of course, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. Sigmund will be back next week, as always. And again, a little extra inside the mind of Sigmund Bloom next week for you guys. So thank you for listening to this super-sized edition. If you need more of me, which, I mean, let's be real, you probably don't.
I hear you.
But if you do, I will have my Start Sit column out on BleedingGreenNation.com tomorrow morning, Friday morning. All my starts and sits. Last week, not too shabby.
Oh, good for you.
Told you to start Deshaun Watson, Bilal Powell, a few other good calls in there. So a little humble brag there.
You're unfucking believable.
The week before was awful, so I needed a bounce back week. Hopefully this week will be just as good as the last one. And Sunday morning, of course, you can hear me, John Barchard, and Jack Fritz talking fantasy and gambling and all that good stuff from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the WIP Facebook page. And then Barchard and I from the Jetro lot talking birds from 10:30 till 12-ish, somewhere in that range. So again, hit me up if you need anything fantasy-wise at James Seltzer. Sunday mornings are tough. Anytime before then, I promise I will get back to you. And if I don't, just yell at me.
What the f*** are you doing?
Because I am very sorry. But again, I will try my best to respond to everyone. So good luck this week. Go out, get it, kill it. Let's make some money this week, whether it's DFS, whether it's your seasonal. Let's go get some W's.
I want winners.
Big week 5 year, and then we'll head into week 6, and Sigmund Bloom will be back to help you win that week as well. So thank you for listening again. We'll be back next week, and thank you again to Sigmund Bloom and Neil Dutton for making this a supersized edition. So thank you again for listening to the Week 5 edition of This Week in Fantasy.
Histories of ages past, unenlightened shadows cast down through all eternity.